You've turned into the broadcast where the rubber meets the road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This broadcast is brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is not here to sell you a diet program, videos, DVDs, or even a tape series that will change your life. We're all committed to one thing and one thing only, pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic ministry. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We hope that you will be encouraged in your Christian walk through this broadcast. We pray that today's message will bless you and strengthen your commitment in serving Jesus Christ. Come and learn more about our ministry by visiting our website at HisWillMinistry.org or email your comments to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We would love to hear from you. Your support and prayer for this ministry will help preach the gospel around the world. Stay tuned for Pastor Warner.
Let's look in Ephesians. I want to show you some of the windows of God's will for us. Ephesians chapter 5, 17. Ephesians 5, 17. We always say, well, what is God's will for my life? What should I pray for? What should I do? Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, there is excess. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God. So what are we told by Paul about the will of God? It's something we should understand. It's not something we should avoid. It's not something we're insulting God with if we ask God to show us. It's something we should understand. And he says here part of it is, he says, don't be drunk with wine in excess, but filled with the Spirit. You could make that read, don't be drunk with the world in excess. Don't be drunk with your surroundings. Do you have to have a nicer car because your neighbor does? That's drunk with your surroundings. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your life. How many of you have the joy unspeakable that passes understanding 24 hours a day? Well, it took me about 30 seconds to a minute and a half to recover from going through the whole twice before I got the joy unspeakable. But you would be proud of me. Nothing came out of my mouth that was not right. So that tells me my heart is getting pure, because James says, out of thy heart, through thy mouth. That's a good window. So you guys should be proud of me. I'm growing. And I can show you the whole side of my leg don't look like it is. Well, it did grow pretty good there for a while. We should be living with hymns, songs, music in our heart. How many of you wake up in the morning with a hymn in your head? I mean, literally, the first thing you do when you get out of bed, when your eyes open up, and you're laying there, the first thing that starts playing in your head is a gospel hymn or a song praising Jesus. If you have that, you're on the highway to heaven, because you're on the way to the Lord's will. But if the first thing that comes into your mind when those eyes wake up is what you got to do that day or what you didn't do yesterday, then you got a ways to go. See, I'm in the middle of the road on that one. Most days I wake up with the Lord singing in my head. Some days I wake up with, I forgot to do that. I'm gaining for the whole day and the whole mornings, but I haven't got there yet. Okay, let's go on and look what other windows we have. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God. The good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. That's part of the will of God for you. God, have you ever heard the old saying, put up or shut up? Put your money where your mouth is. Where the rubber hits the road. That's what God's talking about here. We can't get much more plain than that. Don't give eye service or lip service. Because God sees you. You know, I really feel sorry for God, but the Bible makes it very plain and clear. It don't matter what we dress in, He sees us naked. That's a scary thought when you're on this side looking out. It's got to be really bad going this way. But He sees us with nothing but the true, stripped away nature. See, I can give you lip service. I can tell you all kinds of nice, flowery little things. And I could probably get away with it. But God's up there seeing the truth. And that's what He wants from us. Part of the will of God is for us to do His work. Not with our mouths, with our hands. Get in the trenches and get dirty. You know, there's some gutter punks out there that are on the streets starving to death. Don't give them $5 and a boot out of town. Give them a place to sleep. Give them a meal. You know, the most disgusting thing I ever heard of in my life, a friend was telling us at church last week that there was a church that had some homeless people break into it. And all they wanted was a place to sleep, and they stole a few crumbs, a few pieces of food that was in the pantries. Guess what? The church caught them and is prosecuting them. Is that the will of God? Is that God's love? You know, I'm old enough to remember when the doors of churches weren't locked. I'm old enough to remember when you and I had the guts. And I'm telling the truth here. We had the guts to trust Him and say, God, this is Your house. You take care of it. It's open to everybody. Amen. Now we live behind bars. What happened? Every church I know of is double locked. We don't have the guts to trust Jesus. It's not your house. It's not my house. This is a house of God. And if it's God's house, then it should be God's will to take care of it. And if it isn't God's will to take care of it, then something's wrong, isn't there? You know, last Sunday I had to go to Mountain View. And this is not me, this is God. My wife was sick. There was 8 inches of snow on the ground. Well, Sunday before last. Sunday before last. 8 inches of snow on the ground. I didn't want to go. My instincts were, call up Mountain View and tell them I'm not coming. But God said, remember, Jay, you told me you'd go. I hate it when He does that. I really do. Jay, you said, okay, Lord. So I got in that truck, and I'll tell you, it was sheer ice, ground fog, all the way there. Got to Mountain View, thought, man, am I blessed, it's a sunny day. You know, before I'd opened my mouth at the sermon, it was snowing. By the time I was done, it was 6 inches on the ground. But God has a sense of humor. I love it. Got in the truck. I did some visiting with the parishioners. Got in the truck and drove back. Sheer ice. Now, I'm cruising down the road. You know, I'm stupid. 70 miles an hour, sheer ice. Minivan in front of me. Spins out and flips upside down right in front of me. Control stopped, pulled over. Not one person hurt. Praise God. Came here. The church prayed over me before I could go home. Now, I want to tell you, this is not my driving. As I told you, I was doing 70 on sheer ice. Dumb. This is not my driving, but that truck did not slip one single time. Okay? 70 miles an hour, a minivan flipped over in front of me. Controlled stop without one slip. Now, do you think that has anything to do with me? No. That has to do with a man whose whole life is centered around one thing, walking in the will of God and serving Him. But you notice the word there should be in quotes, man. I'm just as human as anybody else, and I make a lot of mistakes, and I do fall. But praise God, because I'm seeking that with every ounce of my soul, there's a protection. So you want power, you want protection, you want to be able to do the miracles that we see in this Bible. You can't do them until you're seeking the will of God in your life in every way. That's where the power comes from. How would you like to have been the disciples? First off, they lose Jesus. He dies. They're crushed. He told them, don't worry about it, I'm coming back. Do you think one of them believed him? They're all scattered. And then when he rises, nobody believes, did they? No, they don't believe. Oh, no, it's not Jesus. You women are nuts. Have you ever noticed men been doing that ever since? You women are nuts. Then when they finally see Jesus, they get him back. They get to walk with him. They get to talk with him. I mean, oh, the joy of being able to just sit there and know, Jesus, you're alive. You know, Thomas was doubting and had to see the nail prints, but just think about it. Sitting there talking with him after he's raised from the dead. And my fondest dream is just to be able to crawl up at his feet in heaven and just, like the lady with the issue of blood, touch him once. I mean, I'd make all eternity just worth it. These guys are sitting there. And then he says, well, I'm going to go. What a downer. Sorry, guys, I'm leaving again. I got to go to heaven. And I'm going to give you the comforter. So you go to Jerusalem and wait. Now, I don't know about you guys, but he doesn't say in here how long to wait. He says, go to Jerusalem and wait. So they watch him going up. And I mean, this is the way you and I are. We're just sitting here watching him go up like we expect something. God had to send a couple of angels. A couple of angels that said, I mean, you know, you can't paraphrase this, but they said, what are you guys doing standing around here? He's gone to heaven. Now, how long would they have sat there and stared up into the sky? See, I always wonder how they got anything accomplished. We have the Word, so we can see it, but how'd they get anything accomplished? So they go to Jerusalem. They go to the upper room, and they wait. Now, come on, you can't tell me that after the first day of praying and supplicating and fasting, somebody didn't say, I wonder how long he meant. Come the third, fourth, fifth day, somebody had to say, Peter, shouldn't we send out for some carry out? I'm getting hungry. I mean, is Jesus coming back? I mean, what's this Holy Ghost thing he's talking about here, people? We've been here 4 days, nothing's happening. About the fifth, sixth, seventh day, you know that 120 were in that room. How many of you think they started? Started leaving. You know there had to have been more than 120. Out of 3 years of ministry, there had to have been more than 120 left when Jesus came back and they were telling everyone. Because everybody saw him. It was with him there. So by the eighth and the ninth day, we're thinning out. We got the old standbys. Peter, the disciples, probably the 70 that originally went. You got the old standbys. They refused to leave. But you got to think, they must have really started wondering, what's this Holy Ghost thing Jesus said? What's this comforter he was talking about? And then on the morning of the 10th day, they were praying and supplicating those that were left, and the building started to shake. And the Holy Ghost came down upon them as tongues of flame. And the miracles started. Now, we always think, oh, well, they got speaking in tongues and Peter went out and preached. No, the miracles started. You don't see anybody prior to that raising the dead. Anybody prior to that walking by someone in their shadow healing them, do you? They stayed desperately in the will of God. The last word they had from God Himself was, wait. Wait, and I will give you the Spirit. Wait. What would have happened to the church today if they had decided against waiting? Where would we be? We wouldn't have the New Testament. We'd all be Jews living out of the Old Testament, because the New Testament probably never would have been written. Because the Holy Ghost is our instructor and gave them the recall of everything that had happened. And like John says, John had such a great recall. What does he say at the end of his book? If everything Jesus did was written, it would take volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes. I hate to tell you guys, I can't remember what I did last week. And I know I can't remember exactly what I did 3 years ago. But you read the Word of God and you can see the Holy Spirit-inspired Scriptures of God that gives us what we need. See, the will of God is not just something we speak of. Oh yeah, I want to be in the will of God. Oh yeah, I like the will of God. I'll pray about the will of God. If it hadn't been for 120 people, men and women, waiting, because the last word they got from God was wait, we wouldn't have what we have right now. I wouldn't be in here preaching Jesus. I wouldn't be preaching to you about the power that you can have. You know, nowhere in this book does it say that we're all weenies. Nowhere in this book does it say that when this chapter was closed in Acts, or when this chapter was closed in Ephesians, or when this chapter was closed, that everything stopped. We know. We've seen it not in our lifetimes, but in our grandfathers' and great-grandfathers' lifetimes. We've seen true Pentecost. We've seen true revival. And those men were so in the will of God. I remember one pastor that he received a bunch of letters as he was getting old, wanting him to come. And he started crying. And the guy that was sitting there with him thought, "Why are you crying?" He thought, oh, he was weeping because he was so joyous that even at 80 years old, people still wanted to hear him preach. You know why he was weeping? Because those people wanted him to come preach. Not one of them said they wanted to hear the word of Jesus Christ from him. And he was so humble, even at that age, being a minister that raised the dead, etc., with the full gifts of the Spirit, he was so humble that he cried because they saw him, not Jesus. That is the will of God. That is what the will of God is all about. Let's see. Thessalonians is mine, 1 Thessalonians 5. And we don't have to read. I'll just paraphrase it for you. But that's the one where it says the will of God is for us to give thanks in all things. And that was my example with falling through the floor. It was kind of hard to do. I fell out of the will of God shortly there, because as you're crawling out of this hole in the floor, it's really hard to be praising God. But give me a few minutes, and like my wife said, she says, well, if I'd fallen through with my luck, I would have broke my leg. Well, I didn't break anything, so I was praising God. I was praising God that He protected me from my own stupidity. God will do that if you're walking in His will. Let's look at the promises and the dangers. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:21. And this is always a scary one to me, especially as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it should be just as scary for you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name, and in thy name done many wonders? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. It's kind of scary to think about that. Think about it. Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do many wonders in your name? But they didn't do the will of God. That's why we have to be very sure that we study this and we know the will of God. The will of God tells us to read this. And if we read it, it tells us that in the end times, many false prophets will come. And they will be accompanied by false miracles, false wonders, false tongues. I listened to a recording the other day of a pastor, a well-known pastor, speaking in tongues and laying hands on a young man. And I had to listen to it 3 or 4 times because it went by quick. But you would be absolutely sure that if you listen to that, you will hear him say in tongues and receive the mark of the beast. False prophets, false tongues. Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things in your name? And he said, no, because you weren't in the will of God. See, no matter what we do in our ministries, no matter what we do in our lives, no matter what we do, as a Christian, the most supreme thing that you should have in the center of your forefront is the will of God. And the reason for that is the ultimate gift. If you read in 1 John chapter 2, and this is one you should take to heart, you should mark, you should highlight, you should hold close to your heart, you should not let go, because if anybody tells you you shouldn't look for the will of God, just read this to them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abide forever. Jesus said, Lord, Lord. Many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And he says, go away to thine iniquity, because you didn't do the will of God. John tells us that he who does the will of God will abide forever. It's very important for your lives as a Christian. If you're floating and don't have a direction, start searching and seeking. Because God has a plan for every one of us. Every single person in this room has a calling. Your call may be to be a preacher someday. Your call may be just to talk to your workers. Your call may be something special within the body of Christ. Or your call there simply be share the gospel. You know, the saddest thing I ever saw is I asked one time for the people in the church to raise their hands and give me a blessing that God had given them during the week. And out of a church of 50 people, I got 2 hands. Now, you mean to tell me that 48 people got nothing from God all week long? Nothing? Nothing? That's not the God I know. That's not the God I love. You'll never catch me being a prosperity preacher, but I'll tell you right now, this Bible says God loves you and He will put blessings upon your heart and your soul and your spirit. And I'll tell you right now, if you walked in this church this morning, and if I asked you that question and you can't raise your hand and give me at least one blessing that occurred to you this week, you are not in the will of God. If God didn't touch you in some way, whether it was just a special verse when you were reading and you said, oh Lord, that applies to my life right now. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That touched my heart and lets me know that you love me. Or you were depressed and you stepped outside and saw the most beautiful sunrise you've ever seen in your life. Or it was 20 below and you knew your car needed a battery and you got in it and it cranked 3 times and you were sure the 4th it was gone and it started. You gotta look. But God loves you enough that He blesses you in every day life. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. It's got enough worries. If God will close the flowers today and they're gone tomorrow, what great things will He do for you? If you can't come into this building, if you can't go to bed at night and know that you've been blessed by God that day, you are not on this narrow line. And according to this, sad to say, you're going to hell. It's a hard, harsh word. And study this and prove me wrong if you can. But according to what I read in this Bible, if you're not walking in the will of God, you're going to hell. Jesus' own words. Even though you may have healed somebody, even though you may have prophesied, even though you may have spoken tongues, if you're not in the will of God, seeking the will of God, wanting the will of God as your supreme thing in your life, according to Jesus' own words, you ain't going to be in heaven. Now, I'm not making the decisions. I praise God I'm not making the decisions. Because to be honest, if I was making the decisions, I probably wouldn't even be in heaven because I know my past. And I don't think I'm worthy to be in heaven. In fact, I know I'm not worthy to be in heaven. I know I'm not even worthy to be in front of you guys preaching the gospel. But my Lord has a reason for my life. And He brought it into His will. A pastor once said that I love, he said, I always wondered why all these things kept happening to me. Why this? Why that? And he says, now that I look back, I see that it was anointing of God that He was steering me into the line of His will for me. And it took that pastor 48 years before God got him on that line. And when He got him on that line, his ministry took off like you wouldn't believe. And thousands were saved. It's not Jay that's saying you're going to go to hell. It's Jesus' own words. I don't judge. I don't know how to judge. And I refuse to judge anyone because I'm not worthy of judging. But Jesus is very plain and clear to the importance of the will of God in our lives. It is absolutely, absolutely foremost that we want that. We can sing hymns. We can sing songs. We can give Him praises. But if we're doing something that's away from Him, totally, absolutely away from Him, that He wants for us, He tells us what's going to happen. I don't like it any more than anybody else does. But He says, if you abide in My will, if you walk in My will, you'll have everlasting life. The will of God is for us to spread the good news. The will of God is for us to praise Him in all things. The will of God is for us to sing songs of praise in our hearts. If you can't walk in and say God's done something beautiful for you, you're not praising Him in all things. You know, God has a plan for you and I. I don't understand mine. Mary and I don't understand the fullness of His plan. But He has a plan. And He wants it fulfilled. That's why Paul tells us, understanding the will of God. God has a plan for every life in here. Every single life in here, He has a plan for you. And He wants you to be in that plan. But the only way you can be is to seek His will. To pray that His will be done. It was so important to Jesus that when He taught you and I to pray, the first of most important was praise God. Before anything else, you can be starving to death. You can be laying on the ground with a bullet hole, bleeding to death. And before you do anything, if you're going to pray to God, what did Jesus show us? Praise God. Hallowed be Thy name. And then, Lord, Thy will be done. Then we can petition. Now, if you're laying on the ground bleeding, you might want to say that quickly. You might want to praise Him quickly and Thy will be done quickly, then get to the point where, hey, Lord, I'd really appreciate some help here. But we still can't forget that. Praise Him. You walked in here today, every one of you. You didn't come in a wheelchair. You took a breath when you woke up. You're not on oxygen. There's two things right there you can praise Him for. You've got to look for it. Look for it. Dig for it. You know what will happen? You'll get so good at it, you don't have to dig anymore. You don't have to look anymore. They come to mind after one, after another, after another, after another. And before you know it, you got praises coming out your ears. This morning we got up and it was 4 below 0. I don't know how many people own a diesel, but you can leave that diesel run for an hour and a half. It'll never warm up. You get in it and drive it 10 miles, it starts to warm up. You can leave it plugged in, anything. It'll never warm up. But we've learned to praise Him over that because it gets good gas mileage. It's all in the perspective.
Amen.
It's all in the perspective. Dig this week for God's will. Look for it. Search it. This is the living Word, and if you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life to show you, don't ever sit down and open your Bible and start reading. Don't ever do that. Pray first. Ask the Holy Spirit, guide me. Show me what you'd like to show me, Lord. Speak to me. You know, I got to the point, and I know several others that have, through just prayer and then studying their Bible, that I could sit down and read the Gospels, and God would transport me there. I was just reading the book. But in my mind, it was like I was walking next to Jesus. That is the most awesome thing that ever happened to me. I mean, I was sitting there reading the Gospels, and my mind was transported to walking next to Jesus. Walking with Him and hearing Him speak. Seeing His miracles. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. And He can do that for you. You got a problem in your life? Go to the Word. You know, God thought of everything in here. Everything. Everything. He even told the Israelites how to go to the bathroom. There's everything in here if you look. This book is the manufacturer's handbook for God, and everything you will ever need is in here. There is nothing that can happen in your life that God has not thought of. You may be experiencing the high-tech end of it, but look in here. You talk about being upset about car problems. What happened to David and his friend when they were moving the ark improperly? They didn't have car problems, they had cart problems. He was trying to be nice. Oh, God, I'll just help. I'll touch that zap. That's the end of him. God covers every situation. What's the lesson learned? Trust God. Come on, guys, it's God's ark. He's not going to let it splat in the ground. This is God. But every lesson you need is in here. Just translate it from high tech. You want to find cell phones? Look in Revelation under Satan. No. Seek this week the will of God. Look for it. And you will find. Jesus said, knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and you will receive. That's a promise. Every word in here is the truth and a promise. You want the will of God? Count Him on His Word. I hold your Word, God, and I hold you to it. Never be ashamed to stand up there in front of God or on your face before God and quote a scripture and say, this is your Word, and I hold you to it. Never, ever be ashamed to do that before God, because He expects that. He expects you to know this Bible so much you can stand up before Him and say, God, my life is going to hell right now, and I know why. And here's the scripture that says, I don't have to. And claim it, and believe in it, and He will honor it, because it's His Word. You want to know the will of God? Start asking. The Holy Spirit will show you. You ask, you're going to receive. You knock, it's going to be open to you. You go through the door. As I like to say, Jesus never ever opens a door that He doesn't put the floor. Now, He might wake you up by leaving about a foot between you and the floor just to get your attention. But there's always a floor there. He's never going to open the door and let you go through it and fall straight down. That's not my God.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that he has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.